When we face crisis situations, and every one of us face crisis situations, in our families, at our jobs, in the church, what should we do? When we face a situation in our lives where the odds are overwhelmingly against us, where we're outnumbered by the enemy, outnumbered by the circumstances of life, what should we do? When we get news that is devastating, when you sit across the desk from your doctor and he says, "I'm sorry to have to tell you this," what should we do? When life knocks us to our knees, what should we do? The answer to all these questions, I think, is the same. We need to trust God and pray. Amen. If we look in the Bible, the men and women of God, when they faced overwhelming challenges in life, their response was to trust God and to pray. We're in a series right now that I've entitled Listening In, Great Prayers of the Old Testament. And so far, we've had the privilege, you know, and it is a privilege to listen to a man or a woman of God pray. We've had the privilege of listening in to the prayers of Moses. Wasn't that precious to listen to him pray? "Lord, show me your ways that I might know you. And God, let us have your presence. Because how are people going to know we're God's kids unless we have your presence? And Lord, show us your glory. Show us your glory. Let us catch a glimpse of the glory of God." What a prayer. What a prayer. And last week we were in holy ground as we listened into the prayer of King David in the 51st Psalm. And he prayed that prayer. "Oh Lord, be merciful to me. Be merciful to me according to thy loving kindness, according to thy great mercy, thy great compassion. Blot out my transgressions." You remember? Remember that prayer? And you know, it's true. The closer you get to God, the more you feel a need to pray the 51st Psalm. What a privilege it was to listen into that prayer. Well, this morning we're going to listen in to the prayer of another king of Israel, King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah. And I want you to take your Bibles and open them up to Isaiah chapter 36. Isaiah 36. Actually, Isaiah 36, chapters 36 through 39, it's the historical portion of the book of Isaiah. It records a very important events that happened in the history of the southern kingdom of Judah. And this is so important that the Bible repeats this account no less than three times. And if you look and if you check this out this afternoon, in 2 Kings chapters 18 and 19, almost verbatim are the words that we're going to look at this morning. It's repeated there in 2 Kings. And what this shows, these chapters record how a godly man, Hezekiah, responded with trust and prayer in a crisis situation when he was facing, listen, overwhelming odds. So first of all, let's look at the background of his prayers, and that's chapter 36, the background of his prayers. What do we know about Hezekiah? First of all, we know that his father was the wicked King Ahaz. Wicked King Ahaz. Ahaz did not do that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but he walked in the ways of the evil kings of Israel. He sacrificed and burned incense on the high places, made his son pass through fire in worship of false gods. Very evil person. Very evil person. He made an evil alliance with the Assyrians to help him against the northern kingdom of Israel in Syria. And Ahaz even set up a false altar in the house of God. He put an altar to false gods in God's house. He was an evil king. Yet his son, Hezekiah, when he was 25 years old, became king. And he did right in the sight of the Lord. Totally opposite of his father. He removed all the high places where the people were worshiping in defiance of God. He broke down the sacred pillars and removed the objects of false worship from the land and from the temple. He got rid of that false altar in the temple. And Hezekiah trusted in the Lord. This was what characterized his life. In fact, in 2 Kings 18, 15 and following, listen what it says about Hezekiah. He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that after him there was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor among those who were before him. For he clung to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him. Wherever he went, he prospered. Amen. And he also, it says, the next verse says, he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. You see, under his father, under Ahaz, they had come under the subjection to the Assyrians. But when Hezekiah got in, Hezekiah followed the Lord. And he said, we're not following the Assyrians anymore. We're not doing that. We're not going to be subjugated to the Assyrians. We're under God. We're going to trust in the Lord. That's the background. But now the enemy is on the move. You see, the Assyrian Empire at that time, they were the big dogs. They were the superpower in the world. They were a violent people who had conquered nation after nation after nation. And in 722 BC, they came down and they defeated Israel, the 10 tribes in north of Judah. They defeated them and took them into captivity. And now when they hear that Hezekiah is not going to follow them anymore, They come down. And it's recorded in 36. Look at 36, chapter 36, verse 1. Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and seized them. And the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem to King Hezekiah with a large army. And he stood by the conduit of the upper pool of the highway of the Fuller's Field. And he came, and the enemy surrounds Jerusalem. Surrounds Jerusalem with a great army. And they come, and they say, listen, we've come down here, we've seized all those fortified cities, and what we demand of you now, Jerusalem under Hezekiah, unconditional surrender. That's what they say. And verses 4 through 10, they use intimidation to get Hezekiah and his people to capitulate to their demands. It says, then Rabshakeh said to them, say now to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, what is this confidence that you have? I say your counsel and your strength for the war are only empty words. Now on whom do you rely that you have rebelled against me? Behold, you rely on a staff of a crushed reed, even on Egypt, on which if a man leans, it will enter into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who rely on him. But if you say to me, we trust in the Lord, our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and has said to Judah and to Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar? Now therefore come, make a bargain with my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses if you are able to, on your part, to set riders on them. How then can you repulse one official of the least of my master's servants and rely on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? Have I now come up without the Lord's approval against this land to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against the land, destroy it. See what he's saying? He's saying, you've rebelled. Who are you relying on? Are you, is it Egypt? Egypt will be like a crushed reed. You lean upon it, it's going to enter into your hand. Yeah. And you thinking you're relying on God, on the Lord? Hezekiah removed all the high places. They thought that was a bad thing for Hezekiah to do. Actually, that was a good thing, right? Because God said, don't worship on the high places. You worship where I tell you to worship. And that was at the temple in Jerusalem. But they said, Hezekiah has offended the Lord. In fact, you know what? The Lord has told us to come up here and to fight against you. The Lord's on our side. They're using intimidation. In fact, there's no way you can stand against us. And then in the next verses, he's speaking in Judean, and the people that went out to meet him said, don't speak in Judean. Speak in your language. He said, no, we're going to speak in Judean. So the people on the wall, the men on the wall that are doomed to eat their own dung and drink their own urine can hear. See, they're trying to use fear tactics here. Who are you trusting in, they say? We outnumber you. If you look down to verse 14, he says, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you, nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Let me tell you, we're going to annihilate you. Don't trust in the Lord. He can't help you. Look at all the other people, he goes on to say. Look at all these other lands. They trusted in their gods. And you know what? We crushed them. And we're going to do the same to you. That's the situation. That's the background to the prayers of Hezekiah, to what was going on. By the way, do you know we have an enemy? And you know he uses intimidation against us? He uses fear tactics. He tries to get us to doubt. You know what he tries to do? He tries to get us to look at the circumstances. Look at the circumstances. That's what this guy did. Look at all these other nations. And get our eyes off the Lord. And get us not to trust in the Lord our God. That's what our enemy also does. Well, the response of the man of God. Chapter 37. The response of the man of God. Hezekiah responded. You know what he did? He trusted in God. He trusted in the Lord. Remember, he was the man who trusted in the Lord more than any other king before or after him. Well, what's that look like? What's it look like when somebody trusts in God? Look at verse 1 of 37. And when King Hezekiah heard it, he tore his clothes and he covered himself with sackcloth. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. That's the way a person in that day showed that they were humbling themselves. They would tear their clothes. They would put on sackcloth, which was the clothing of a mourner. I thought about that. Maybe he remembered what God had told Solomon. Do you think? When God told Solomon, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will what? Hear them from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. Maybe he remembered that. He humbled himself. No, the Bible says what? God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. That's how, when you trust in the Lord, you know what? You have a humble spirit. That's what he did. He humbled himself. Then he sought the presence of God. You know what he did? He entered the house of the Lord. He entered the house of the Lord. See it there in verse 1? He entered God's house. That's where the presence of God dwelt in those days. So Hezekiah said, man, I better draw near to God. What's scripture say? Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. He went to seek the presence of the Lord. I'll tell you, when you get throughout life in crisis situations, you know what the enemy tries to do? He tries to get us apart from the Lord. He tries to separate us. Sometimes people, when they go through a crisis or when things get really difficult, sometimes they get mad at God, don't we? I don't think I'm going to go to church today. I don't think I'm going to read and try to draw near to God. That's a bad idea. I'll tell you, it's always a good idea when you go through crisis situations to draw near to God, to draw near to God. Amen. Let the crisis crowd you to Christ. Did you hear that? Let the crisis crowd you to Christ. Seek the Lord. He entered the house of God. That's a good thing to do. Then, thirdly, he sought a word from God. He sought a word from God, 2-7. He sent his servants to Isaiah the prophet to get a message. See, they didn't have Bibles in that day, but they had prophets. So he sent to the prophet, and he says down in verses 3-4, this is a day of distress. This is a dark day. This is a crisis period. Man, we've come and we're ready to birth the child and we don't have any strength to do it. We're without strength. And the enemy surrounded us. And by the way, the king of Assyria has sent words to reproach the living God. That's what he sent to Isaiah. And then Isaiah sends back the message of the word of God in verse 6. Thus says the Lord. Don't be afraid. Got it handled. I got it handled. They have blasphemed me, and I will bring him back to his own land, and he will be killed. You know, when you experience a crisis, seek a word from the Lord. Yes. Seek a word from the Lord. Get your Bible out and say, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me, Lord. And read until he speaks to you. God's speaking today. Amen? He is. You know, he's still speaking today. He speaks primarily through the word of God. And Lord, I don't know what's going on, but Lord, speak to my heart. And he speaks through his word. Sometimes he even speaks at church. Through your Sunday school teachers and sometimes through the sermon. Sometimes he can speak to us. Amen. And you know what? When we're in a crisis, we need to seek a word from God. Word of encouragement. Word of instruction. Where do I go from here, Lord? What do I do now? And God gives us words of encouragement and instruction. So he humbled himself. He sought the presence of the Lord. He sought a word from God. And then he asked for prayer from the prophet of God. You see 4D right at the end of verse 4? Therefore, offer a prayer for the remnant that's left. Pray for us. And when you know what? When we're in a crisis situation, we need to ask people, pray for me. Amen? In your bulletin today, there is a listing of the elders of the church, the shepherding elders. Every one of you that our members, our regular attenders of this church, have an elder that has been assigned to you. And I'll tell you, the elders of our church, I thank God for the elders of our church. They're men of God. They love the Lord. They're not perfect, but they love the Lord. And if you're having a crisis situation or a problem or whatever, call your elder and say, pray for me. Amen. We have a wonderful prayer chain in our church, don't we? Yes. And if you have a crisis or you have a problem or you have a concern, call, because we have wonderful women of God and men of God on that prayer chain, and they'll pray. It's a good thing to do when you're in a crisis situation. Amen. Ask somebody to pray for you. I'll tell you what, I'll just say it right now. I am not ashamed to say, pray for me. I need your prayers. I need your prayers. My family needs your prayers. This church needs your prayers. And you know what? We need to go to people and just say, pray for me. That's what he did. Pray for us. Pray for us, he says. And that's how a godly man, a godly woman responds when faced with extreme circumstances. They humble themselves. They humble themselves. They seek the presence of God. They seek a word from God. They ask others to pray for them. And so the results was everything got better. Wrong. Because if you look at verses 8 through 13, the enemy continues to hit the barrage and even writes letters to mock Hezekiah and to frighten him and to mock God of Israel. Things didn't get immediately better. And you know what else happened? Something, because sometimes when you pray, things don't get better right away. Sometimes something else happens. And you know what happened to Hezekiah? He got sick. Turn over to chapter 38. This is what happened. He's praying and he's humbling himself and he's seeking the Lord and he's seeking a word and asking for prayer. And verse 1 of 38, this is what happened. In those days, Hezekiah became mortally ill. He didn't get a sniffle. He became mortally ill. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Wow. Sometimes life comes at you, huh? Yes. And the enemy surrounded the whole city. You're outnumbered 100-1 or whatever. And then you get sick. And he's mortally sick. You're going to die. Get your house in order, man, because you're going to die, and you're going to die. You're not living. What do you do when life knocks you to your knees? I'll tell you what you do. You trust God, and you pray. Turn to the person beside you and tell them, trust God and pray. That's what you do. And so that leads us to the prayers of Hezekiah. The prayers of Hezekiah. And I want to start with the one right here in 38. Because I think this one he prayed first. And it's his prayer for healing. In verses 2 and 3. The contents of this prayer. Isaiah says, set your house in order. You're going to die. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech you how I have walked before you in truth with my whole heart and have done what is good in your sight. Hezekiah went before God, and you know what he did? He pled a life well lived under the law. That's what he did. Remember, he says, I've walked before you in truth with all my heart. He pled a life well lived under the, not perfect, but a life well lived. Folks, when we go before the Lord in prayer, we need to plead a life well lived. Not our life. Better life than that. We need to go before the Lord in crisis and plead the life of Jesus Christ. Because he not only lived a good life, he lived a perfect life. And now when a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and is saved, our sin is on Christ on the cross. He died for our sins. We're forgiven. But more than that, he takes his righteousness and puts it to our account so that now God says, looks down and says, justified, you are righteous in Christ. Amen. And we can plead that before the Lord. Amen. Over in Isaiah 61, love this verse, Isaiah 61, 10. He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has robed me with his righteousness. Aren't you glad for that? I can get excited about that. I can go before the Lord and I can't plead. Well, Lord, I plead. I'm a great person. And I, you know what? Because I can't plead that, because our righteousness is like what? Filthy rags. We fall infinitely short of the glory of God. But you know what? I can go before the Lord and say, I come and I plead a life, a perfect life. The life of my Savior, Jesus. And I'm coming dressed in his righteousness. That's he comes and he pleads a life well lived. But and he asks God for his favor based on that righteousness. But we have a righteous standing in Christ. And then it says, Hezekiah wept bitterly. He's reading J. Vernon McGee's commentary on Isaiah. And he recounted the day that he was told by his doctor that he had cancer. And he said, I wept too. I wept when I was told I was going to die. This is a time when man can weep. And there are times, you know, when we get that phone call. There are times when we get that announcement from our doctor, times to weep. It doesn't say here that he asked God to heal him. He may have done that. He may have verbalized those words. But I know that at least it was in his heart that he wanted God to heal him. How do we know that? If you look down at verses 10 through 20, he records a journal entry that he made after his illness. He writes in verse 10, I said in the middle of my life, I am to enter the gates of Sheol. I am deprived of the rest of my years. Then down in 14, like a swallow, like a crane, so I twitter. Now, I didn't even know they had Twitter back then. But I moan like a dove. Verse 16, O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these is the life of my spirit. O restore me to health, and let me live, let me live. Now again, I don't know if he verbalized that, because sometimes we get so distressed. I don't know about you, but sometimes you can get so distressed, I don't even know what to say. But God, you know what God does? He sees your heart. He knows the desires of our heart. And whether he said this verbally or if he just had it in his heart, God heard it. Yes. God heard it. And he answered him. Now it says here, Hezekiah prayed and God heard him and he got an answer. Boy, don't you wish God always answered like that? And I wish I could say that every time we get sick and we prayed, God would heal us. But you know what? I can't say that. I can't say that. Because he doesn't. But I'll tell you what. Yeah, not here. One day he will. Praise God. But one thing I can say is when we pray, trusting God, whatever the situation, God will do the best for us, which will bring him the greatest amount of glory.
Amen.
I can believe that. And it says down in verse 6, I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. That was God's word of assurance, and God healed Isaiah. He gave him 15 more years.
Yeah.
And you know what? I wish I could say that he glorified God and served God with all those 15 years. But he didn't. There's a sad commentary over in 2 Chronicles 32:25. It says, but Hezekiah gave no return for the benefit he received because his heart was proud. Therefore, wrath came on him and on Judah and on Jerusalem. Did you hear that? God said, okay, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to give you 15 more years. But he gave him no return. Listen, if God heals you, if God gives you, if God gives you length of days, serve the Lord.
Amen.
Give him glory. Give him a return.
Yeah.
He's done everything for us. He gave his own son. It's just our reasonable service of worship that we get on the altar and say, here am I, Lord. Use me. But Hezekiah didn't do that. But he prayed, and you know what? He was healed. God heard his prayer, and he healed him. Well, meanwhile, back at the ranch, we're still surrounded. We still got all these troops around us. And so what does he do? Look back at chapter 37, verse 14. The enemy sends these letters down that to strike fear into their heart. You guys can't stop us. We're going to take this city. And by the way, God can't help. They mock the Lord. So what does he do? What does he do? He prays. And in verse 14, I love this verse. Verse 14, we read, then Hezekiah took the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it, and went up to the house of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. Don't you love that? I just love that. Here he gets these letters that were to really strike fear into his heart, and these letters that mock God. So he goes up to the house of the Lord, and he takes the letters, and he just spreads them out. I call that's prayer.
Yeah.
Silent prayer. You know what he's saying? Look, God, look what this joker's saying. Look what he's saying. He's saying that you can't, he's mocking you. He's blaspheming your name. What are we going to do about it, God? And I'm like, what are you going to do about it, God? He spread them out. You know, I thought about that, writing down things and just spreading them out before the Lord. Sometimes you're in a crisis situation, write it down. Write it in your prayer journal. Write it on a piece of paper. And then just go before the Lord. And that'll help you to remember to pray. That'll help you when God answers your prayer to give him thanks because you wrote it out. Do you ever write out your prayer requests? Tell you what, Linda and I have a prayer list we call our prodigal prayer list. We have 150, 160 names on it of people that do not know the Lord, of people, many of them young people, some of them who were raised in this church that are now out there.
Yes.
They've gone, they've strayed from the Lord. Tell you what, there are people here today, your name's on that list. And we often, generally we try it at least weekly. We did yesterday. We take that sheet out and we pray, but we put the sheet out. Say, Lord, here they are. Here they are, Lord. These are souls. They're not just names on a piece of paper.
Amen.
These are souls. God, they need you. Lord, take this prodigal prayer list and turn it into a praise list.
Amen.
Here it is. Write it out. Well, he just took these letters and he just put them out before the Lord. First of all, just spread them out before the Lord, before the face of God. But then he prayed to the Lord. Do you see it there? He prayed to the Lord saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel. Again, he addressed him as the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies of heaven. The Message version says the God of the angel armies. He realizes here before God that when God, the Lord of hosts, is for you, it doesn't matter how many enemy combatants are against you. It doesn't matter. One man, one woman, plus the Lord of hosts can stand against any number of enemy troops. Like when the great army, you remember the great army surrounded Dothan, and Elisha was there in Dothan, and his servant went out and he saw this army that surrounded the whole city. And he goes back in, Elijah, Elijah, look, all this army, we're dead. And what did Elijah say? Oh, don't worry. Lord, open his eyes that he might see that those who are for us are more than those who are against us. And the God opens his eyes and he sees the armies of the Lord of hosts. When God is for us, who can stand against us? And he prays to the Lord of hosts. He addresses him. He says, you are enthroned above the cherubim. You are the God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You made heaven and earth. He addresses the only true God, the King of kings. He asks him in verse 17, incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Listen to all the words of Sennacherib, who sent them to reproach the living God. And then he says, and by the way, God, they're right. They did come up against all these other nations, and they took all their gods and threw them in the dumpster and set them on fire. But they're not the real God. Amen. They're idols. We serve you. You are the Lord of lords, the King of kings. You are the sovereign God. He acknowledges his sovereignty, his singularity, that he's the living God, not a dead idol. This guy's reproaching you, God. So, verse 20. Now, Lord, O Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand and all the kingdoms that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, Lord, are God. Do this, Lord. Work in such a way, God, in answer to this prayer so that people will know that you are sovereign, you are singular, you are the only true God, you are the Lord God of heaven and earth. Glorify your name, God. This is for your glory. I'm praying this prayer. Let people know that you're God. You know, we ought to be praying that in this church. Amen. God, work in our lives so much that people will know that you're God. That's what he prays. And the result, and we won't, I won't read this, but verses 21 through 38, he gets a word from look at verse 21. This is important. In verse 21, it says, then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent word to Hezekiah saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. Listen, the next words, because you have prayed to me. Because you have prayed to me. What does that say? What somebody said?
Prayer changes things.
Does prayer make a difference?
Yeah.
Because you have prayed to me. Prayer does make a difference. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Amen.
Prayer, listen, this is amazing. I don't know how it all works. But But prayer makes a difference in heaven and on earth. Prayer does make a difference because you prayed. Not an arrow will fly into the city. Not a stone will be thrown against the wall. I'm going to take the king back to his own land, and his own kids are going to kill him. And that very night, and I'm going to act here. I'm going to do it pronto. That very night, what happened? See the end of the chapter? The angel of the Lord went forth, and 185,000 Assyrian troops fell dead. God delivered them. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? The fervent, effectual prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And this morning, we've had the privilege of listening in to his prayers. He trusted God and he prayed. So I ask you this morning, are you facing some difficulties? Are you facing overwhelming odds in your life? Some situation? Listen, if you're not today, you will be. And what we're to do when life knocks us to our knees, what are we to do? Trust God and pray. Say that again. Trust God and pray. That's what we're to do. Lord, we just bow before you. We just thank you for the godly example of Hezekiah, that when things were, when the circumstances were overwhelming, when the enemy surrounded the camp, when his own health was in was really in bad shape, Lord, when he was dying, he trusted you and he prayed. And God, I pray that you would bring this back to our memory and bring this back to the forefront of our minds as we go through life. Every day, Lord, may we trust you and may we pray. May we know, Lord, that prayer makes a difference. It makes a difference in heaven and in earth. Lord, teach us to pray. Help us to trust in you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.